In the last few weeks, we've been talking about being hungry for God and some neat things that happen when you get hungry for God. Things begin to change and transform. You get hungry to be changed, letting him do things in your heart and life that normally would just be left undone. And today I want to talk to you about something that happens in the pursuit of God. He begins to change your heart in such a way he brings to pass what he's promised for you. He brings to pass what he's promised to you. And what he's promised to you is not what he's promised to me. You hear that? Now, obviously, as the church, he's promised some things to us together as a collective community. And sometimes we don't know how to separate those promises that are for you and the promises that are for the body of Christ. And it's important that you do that because you can get sideways if you're not careful. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Let's pray, shall we, over the word? Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for the process that you put us on. That when we get hungry, things happen. God, I just ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts today. May your life and your love shine forth, and may hope arise in this place, Lord. Faith arise in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe that with all my heart, that God will bring to pass what he's promised. And sometimes what he's promised takes a whole lot longer than I expected, but it's the case. You know, we see the promise of the Messiah early in the New Testament, and it takes thousands of years for it to happen, but it happened. We have seen in our day the promise of his coming. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, I'm coming back again, and guess what? He's coming back again. Amen? He's coming back again. He's going to fulfill that promise. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 37, verse 4. Listen to what it says. Maybe you know it. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Did you hear that? It's quite a profound verse. That the scripture says this, that if you delight yourself in the Lord, how many know things happen when you delight yourself in the Lord? I mean, your heart changes, your life changes. Things when you get hungry for God and delight yourself in his presence, he changes and transforms some things in you. I don't know about you, but when I delighted myself when I was younger in the Lord, my heart's desire changed. I won't go into that, but he changed my heart. He just changed it. So when the psalmist says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The previous verse talks about committing your way to God. So without the commitment, this verse kind of doesn't happen. Do you understand? Because without God transforming and working and you delighting yourself in him, your desires are kind of polluted with the flesh and the world's philosophy. But the scripture makes it very clear, to delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And sometimes I've had to ask God to purify my desires. Anybody ever had to do that? Don't raise your hand. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, or chapter 1, I ran across this verse, and I want to talk to you about it a little bit today because it really blessed me. It encouraged me. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God will make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Man. The first thing he says here is with this in mind, which means what he was talking about previously, pertains to what he's saying to us right now. And with this in mind, what he was talking about, he's talking about the future glory we're going to share with Jesus in eternity. I am so thankful that this life is not all there is. I don't know about you. Don't get me wrong. I love living life. I love loving the people that God put in my life. I love waking up every morning and worshiping Jesus. I love studying his word. I love work. I love this life. But the truth of the matter is, there's no comparison to what heaven's going to be. Amen? And so we have this hope. And he says, with heaven in mind, do these things. Do these things. You see, we're going to get to share in the glory of Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, we share a little bit of that right now. In Psalm 115, verse 1, it says this, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because your love and because of your love and faithfulness." So out of our hearts and desire ought to be the desire to glorify God. Not to us. I don't need my name on the billboard. I don't want my name on the bill. I want his name to be honored. Amen? And that's a beautiful thing. He wants that. Because there's something that happens when his glory shows up. When his glory shows up. The first thing that normally transpires is this, a revelation of God. A revelation of God. Here's what I know. We need his glory because the world needs a revelation of God. They need to know who Jesus is. They need to know who the Father is. They need to know what Christianity is all about. And the only way that can happen is his glory to fall. His glory to fall on our lives. In John 1:14, it says this, "And the Word became flesh." Who's he talking about there? Jesus. "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory." Notice what happens next. "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So when the glory came down, what showed up? Grace and truth. The revelation of his grace, the revelation of his truth. And you and I can't survive without both of those. You see, grace without truth is sloppy. Truth without grace is hopeless.
Amen.
Hopeless. Because the truth is we're sinners in need of a Savior. And without his grace, aren't you thankful for his grace? And I'm thankful for his truth. In John 1:18, he says this, "No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in close relationship with the Father, and he has made him known." So when the glory shows up, revelation proceeds. You see, I want to know him. I want to know him. And that means sometimes I need his glory to show up. I don't need just church as normal. I don't need a prayer time that just is mundane. You know, I need his glory to show up. I need his glory because I want to know him more. And the way to know him more is for his glory to come down. I was reading the book. Some of you may not know this name, but some of you may. The pastor who pastored Church on the Way in Southern California, he gave this testimony. One Sunday morning, church was just normal up until that day. Jack Hayford is his name. Church was just normal. And then one Sunday, he got to church, and it was different. He said, the glory of God fell down. And from that day on, we never stopped growing. Something supernatural took place over and over again. Show your glory up, Lord, that people will know who you are. Amen? Yeah. So there's this revelation. The other thing that happens when God's glory shows up is his works show up. And if there's ever a time or a season, I don't know if you've ever been desperate for the work of God to show up, the healing of God, the provision of God. I don't know if you've ever been desperate for God's work to show up, because I don't know about you, but there's some things I can't do. His work shows up. In John 2:11, what Jesus did here in Canaan of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. You know what he did there? He turned water into wine. He turned water into wine. And you know why he revealed that glory? Look what it says. And his disciples believed in him. The end product of the revelation of him in his glory was people put their faith in him. Hallelujah! And some of you thought I was going to tell you it's because you could drink. No. No, that's not why he turned water into wine. He turned water into the wine that people would believe in who he was. Who he was. When his glory shows up through his works, people believe. They place their faith in him. Here's another time. Listen. His glory, a reward for each person's works in the final revelation. His glory will confirm. How many of you know we haven't seen anything yet? And when we get to the heaven, matter of fact, the scripture says this in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. According to what they have done. Who's he talking about there? You. He's talking about me. You know what we want to talk about? What everybody else is doing. You know what we want to talk about? What everybody else is not doing. Can I tell you, when you stand before Jesus, he's not going to worry about what everybody else is doing. He's going to ask you what you did. He's going to know what you have done. And if all you've done is complained about everybody else's doing, you're going to be in trouble. Pay attention to what you're doing. Stop complaining about what everybody else is not doing. Do what is set before you to do to bring glory to his name. Amen? Yes, let him do it. Now he says this, now he wants his glory, and then he says this in Thessalonians, that God, this is my prayer, that God would make you worthy of his calling on your life. Man, what does it mean to be worthy of his calling? I don't know about you, but there are days don't feel too worthy. You understand what I mean? I don't feel it. That's when you thank God for his grace. And I'm not talking about things you do that make you feel guilt. I'm talking about just some days you wake up and you feel, I don't feel much saved. Are you here today, God? That's when faith has to kick in. Do you understand me? Because he said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. Because he said, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive your sins. Because he said, you're a son, you're a daughter of mine. Because he said he was going to come back for you. Because he said. How many of you know the promises of God are yes and amen? And I have to be honest with you, sometimes that is what we have, his word. And his word is enough. His word is enough. His word will get you through. You see, really what he is asking of us, is a summons to spiritual growth. make you worthy of his calling. I don't feel worthy, but I gotta, Lord, help me to be what I'm not so that I can be somehow in my life, bring glory and honor to you. That somehow this life made from the dust of the earth, empowered by your spirit, miraculously gives glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to tell you, it's an amazing thing to think that you and I, who have been conceived in iniquity, transformed by his grace, can somehow put a smile on God's face. That's mercy. That's grace. That is an amazing thing. And we have that chance to live. He empowers us to live other than what we used to be. Aren't you glad of that? Laying aside the things that bind and imprison us to the principalities of this age. Laying them aside so we can bring honor and glory to him. Yes. Paul begins with the grace of God, the gift of his power, the presence in and through the Messiah and the Spirit, becoming one with the Messiah. Jesus, through divine grace, empowers the believer to become a divine agent of heaven. Now we bear the light, an agent of the kingdom of God. So Paul says this, it is my prayer that you would live a life worthy of his calling, and that by his power will bring to fruition. Don't you just love that word? Fruition. Say that with me.
Fruition.
Fruition. That means this: to finish something already initiated. How many ever started anything and didn't finish it?
All the time, Pastor Larry.
I mean, you know. You got all these projects. I should have finished. This is what Paul is saying. What God began, he's going to bring to pass. God has nothing undone. He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring to pass what he's placed in your heart. He's going to bring to pass your desires. Amen? Huh? Listen, when my kids were little, I just prayed for them. And I prayed for Ben, you know, when he was little, laying in the crib. I pray, God, I don't care what you do with my son, but make him a man of your presence. And God answered that prayer as he leads us in worship. Do you understand? God knows how to do it. What I thought in my life just growing up, this, I thank God that he called me into ministry, but I know this. My kids are going to be a greater investment to the kingdom than I have ever been. And wait till you see my grandkids. Yeah. That's right. Why? Because God made a promise. And God brings to fruition that what he promised. Don't you ever give up. Don't you think it ain't going to... I don't know how. There's God. Do you hear me? There's God who wants to bring it to pass. God wants to put a dream inside of you. You got a dream inside of you? I don't know about you, but I got a few dreams inside of me. And they're not tied to men. They're not tied to the people I know. They're tied to what God has birthed in my heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is what I know. He's going to finish it. He's going to bring it to pass. God will finish what he has placed in our hearts to do for his kingdom. As long as it's not for your glory. Do you hear me? You see, some of you have heard me say, I believe Freedom Church is going to be the first church in the West Florida district to give $1 million to mission in 1 year. See, I can see by your enthusiasm in that whole deal and your clap of your hands. Right, Pastor. Hey, guess what? It's not dependent on what you think. It's not dependent on whether you receive it or not. because God birthed that in my heart. And guess what? He's going to bring to pass with all of his power, with all of his might, what he's birthed in my heart for a dream for his kingdom. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. He's going to do that. Hallelujah. Your every desire, he says, your goodness, your purpose for what he's enlisted you to do in his kingdom. You see, God is the source of all good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. His goodness is in all of the things he's blessed you with. And you know what I treasure most is the people in my life. That includes you, by the way. Do you understand how important you are? Huh? It's you. Yeah. Goodness. God is the source of goodness. And an attitude for goodness to be done happens by the power of God. It's not dependent on my resources or our resources. It's dependent on what God can flow through us. Amen? Romans 14:23. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat. He's talking about people that are eating food and they don't know. They're just crazy things that they began in the New Testament. Because their eating is not from faith. And this is what I want to say. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. I don't know about you, but God make me faithful. And God make me a man of faith. See, here's what you don't understand. In the scripture, you can't separate faithfulness from a man of faith. They're one and the same. When Habakkuk in the Old Testament said, the just shall live by faith, he's talking about faithfulness there. The just shall live by faithfulness. And you know, it's important that you and I be faithful to what God has called us to be. It makes us men and women of faith. It can't happen. And why do we want to be faithful? And why do we want, for the benefit of others? Why do we want God's dream to come through our lives for the benefit of the others? Why do we want Jesus to be glorified through our lives for the benefit of the others? Because his revelation shows up. His work shows up. There's something supernatural that happens when people hunger for his glory. Something. His glory. That the name of the Lord be glorified in this place. Somebody say amen. Amen. Huh? His glory. Listen, I know in my own life, his glory is tied to a lot of my attitude and my conduct. Anybody had a sorry attitude? I knew it. I just needed you to admit it. That was a joke, by the way. Kinda. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Larry, I don't see what you see. Okay. And if you're not careful, you know, as pastor, I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, Pastor, I think this is what I need to be doing. And now I have a chance to say, well, if it's sin, I could just shut it down pretty easy. You know what I'm saying? Because the Bible is the Bible, and I don't care what you think you're supposed to be doing. If you're going to contradict what God says in his word, you wrong. But sometimes, you know, you just can't make this. I never oppose the dream that God is building in their lives. You know, because sometimes they, I don't know about you, but the dream in my life has come, I get a little bit and 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 a little bit. And then I said, oh, this is what he is. See? And in the beginning stages of that dream, when it's like this and I tell people about it, they look, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Be careful. Be careful at your response to someone else's dream, desire that they have. Because God might be in it. That's right. You should be like Gamaliel in the New Testament. You remember him? And the disciples are standing before him. A guy's just been healed. And they're saying, you got to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And finally, this wise guy stands up and he says, listen, guys, if this is nothing, it's going to come to nothing. But if it's something, you don't want to be opposing God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be opposing God for what he wants to dream through you. You know what I want to be? I want to be the person of faith. Blowing wind in your sail. Because let me tell you something. If you catch a hold of God's dream for your life, you catch a hold of his purpose, something about his glory is going to start to fall. And I want to be there when it happens. I want to share that. I want to see that. I want to be a part of that. I don't know about you, but the greatest blessing I get in my day is to see other people blessed. Help us, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You see, when he is revealed, when he is glorified. In John 17:10, he says this. He's praying this prayer to the Father. All I have is yours. He's talking to the Father. And all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about the disciples. The glory has come to Jesus through the disciples. Glory has come to Jesus through your life. Hallelujah. Do you realize that when you got saved, heaven had a party? Look at all the parties represented in this place. Can you imagine that you and I shut down heaven when we got saved? You don't think about that. I'm telling you, that's what happened. The angels paused, everybody stood and glorified the Lord Jesus Christ because salvation had come to your house. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Glory has come to me through them. Oh, may God receive glory for what he wants to do through us, individually and corporately. Huh? According to the grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ, to him be the glory. You see, I believe with all my heart, he needs to be revealed. I believe with all my heart, his works need to show up. I believe with all my heart there's a reward in heaven for every one of us. And we're going to see his glory. But there's something in my heart that wants to glorify him now. That wants to see his glory fall. Because people need a revelation of who he is. Amen. Can I tell you, dream for God? Can I tell you, live out your purpose, discover your purpose for him. Don't be afraid to dream big dreams for God.